Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you for a Monday edition of the pod. We're going to break down where the Stars are at so far this season after another big loss on Saturday night. The Stars find themselves in quite the hole in the Central Division and playing some really, really poor hockey. So we're going to talk about where the Stars are at as a team. I got a couple of Twitter questions during the game against the Lightning, just kind of asking my opinions on the team and where the team is at. I'm going to break that kind of down, what I think of the team, where I think things are going, where they need to be, whether I think the Stars have the juice to get it to where it needs to be, all of that. I'm going to talk about that, break that down, and kind of dive into those. And just kind of continue, you know, Stars have an important stretch coming up, and what do we need to see from in the homestand and in the month of March to get this team back in the side of, yeah, I think this team is a playoff team and not, this team doesn't look like they have any shot at the postseason. What is it going to take for me to kind of get back on that train? What is it going to take for a lot of people to get back on that train? But that's what we're going to talk about today, Monday episode. This is the last set of 2 days off between games, so won't be a whole lot of chances to kind of break stuff down like this again. So we're going to do it here today. First thing I want to do is let's dive into those questions. I got a couple of questions from some guys on Twitter during that loss to the Lightning, 5-0 loss. Stars just, I mean, they can't get out of this losing rut. So I got a couple of questions. This first one comes from Drew Butler at dbutler3856. Some people are thinking it, so I will ask it. Is it time for a major change? This is a game that shouldn't be this lopsided with the emotions attached to it. And first and foremost, I think he's right with the second part of that question. This is a game that shouldn't be as lopsided as it was when you consider what that game should mean to this Dallas Stars team. That there should be a little bit more fight in the team. And you look at who the opponent was, and I talked about this before the game. I said, if there's a time for the Stars to wake up and find it and hit their stride and be aggressive and just play 150%, maybe it's the Lightning that can kind of get them in that gear, because they want revenge on the Lightning. The Lightning took away their best shot at a Stanley Cup final. Most of these players, that was the best shot they're going to have in their careers. It's just how it goes. It's hard to get to one. It's nearly impossible to get to two. And so, there's only a handful of people. There's it's a small percentage that gets to two Stanley Cups in their careers. And so, there should be a measure of wanting to get some revenge against these guys. And no, it doesn't mean the same thing now that it did back last year at the end of last season. But you go in to Tampa Bay, make a little bit of a statement. Hey, we're still here. We're still up here as we're still the reigning Western Conference champions. We're not going to be walked all over. I thought maybe that would get them going. And, frankly, it didn't. And that's disappointing. The game was not really, except for the goals, the 5-0 scoreline. I didn't think the game was, outrageously lopsided from the stand. I mean, the Stars looked bad and they didn't look good, but for the most part, it wasn't like Florida, I guess is what I'm getting at. It wasn't like Florida where they got outshot 52-25 or whatever it was, or something like that, or 20 or whatever. It wasn't like that lopsided, but the Stars go 0-for-6 on the power play. Tampa Bay goes 2-for-2. The Stars, Stars give up a shorthanded goal. It's just every facet. The Stars just weren't able to execute. And so, no, I think he's right with that last clause, Drew, is that game should not have been as lopsided as it was when you consider what all was going into that game in terms of emotions and the situation and who it was. The Stars should have absolutely been better and been more ready to go. That being said, this is kind of what we've seen from the team. And so, is it really fair to ask them to elevate their game against a certain opponent when they haven't been able to really elevate their game for a month now? The Stars finished the month of February with 2 wins. One was the very first game of the year, the month against Columbus. And then they win 1 of 3 against Florida. So, as much as we would love to say, this one's the good one to get them going, They're 16 games into the season. They should be going by now. And just because it's Tampa Bay. Now, maybe Tampa Bay at home, maybe it's a different story come Tuesday. Maybe back in the American Airlines Center, Stars feel like they have a little bit more control. But I don't think it's likely. I said on Sunday that I was pretty abrupt about it. I thought the Stars were going to get crushed on Tuesday. I'll tone that back a little bit here. I don't think they're necessarily going to get crushed, but I don't see a path for them to winning that game unless there is a drastic, drastic change in their performance on the ice. Now, to the first part of Drew's question, some people are thinking it, so I'll ask it, is it time for a major change? You know, you didn't specify what type of major change. I'm assuming he means either personnel-wise or coaching-wise. I'll address both separately. From a player perspective, there's not really a major change this team can make. Not right now. They don't have the cap space. They don't have the assets. So they can't go out and sign somebody. They can't go trade for a bad contract for a good player, but who's paid like a great player. They don't have that. They don't have the money to make that happen. The cap space to make that happen. You know, those would be players they could afford from an asset perspective in a trade or something like that. And then from a, you know, if you're trying to go get a player who's providing great value, maybe paid like a good player that they could try to, you know, work something out to afford, but is performs like a great player. They don't have the assets to acquire that. You look at this team and what they have to trade away. You know, your number one asset's Miro Heiskanen. He's not going anywhere. You're not trading, you know, John Klingberg would be up there. You can't, I mean, what's the point of trading John Klingberg? That's not going to make you better, even if you get a good player in. I don't see how that makes you better. So you're talking about then the assets that are tradable. And from a value perspective, it would somewhat make sense would be your Roope Hintz, your Denis Gurianov, maybe Ty Dellandrea, Thomas Harley, those kind of guys. And while I think Gurianov probably has a lot of trade value, because I think he's a very, very good player and he looks, you know, he's kind of scoring at sporadically, but I think long-term, I think there's a lot there in Gurianov. The Stars aren't trading Denis Gurianov, right? They're not going to trade him away just to try to get better right this second, because if you do and it doesn't work, now you're out your best young forward, your best young goal scorer. So I don't see that happening. Dellandrea is not going to carry enough value to headline any kind of package. Hintz has value, but now we've already know he's going to play the rest of your hurt, right? And so he's dealt with injury issues. He's going to play the rest of the season pretty much injured, according to Jim Nill. And so there's not that depresses trade value. You know, beyond that, I mean, who else? Lindell, same thing as Klingberg. You're not going to trade him. Plus, he's on a pretty good contract. You're not going to trade Lindell. You're not going to trade Ottinger. You're not going to trade, Harley, I guess, would be the most tradable from a perspective. It wouldn't impact your team right now because he's not on the team right now. And he's your best prospect. You know, even if you have Ty Dellandrea, Jake Ottinger, Jason Robertson in that conversation, I think Thomas Harley is still your best prospect. So there's probably the most trade value, but I don't see Thomas. It'd be Thomas Harley plus picks. And then you have to figure out the salary side of things because you'd have to work out the cap. I just, there's no major change, I think, to be made from the player side of things. And so I don't see how they make that now. Maybe, you know, something comes along at the deadline, somebody's cheaper, but this team doesn't have the assets. They don't have the assets to get a player who's impactful and cheap, and they don't have the cap space to go to get a player that's impactful and overpaid and so he's cheap to acquire. They don't have either of those. So I don't think they can do it on the player side. Coaching, you know, maybe there's a question to be asked. You know, I know Rick Bowness has been kind of questioned on a couple of his decisions the past couple of games, but I don't think that there's, you're 16 games into a season after he just took this team to the Stanley Cup final. That's too soon to pull the plug on Rick Bowness thing for me. I think he's a good coach, and you know, while you may question a decision here and there, you know, like the timeout, for instance, against Florida. Yes, could he have called a timeout and maybe been able to get his guys off the ice, prevent that third goal? Probably. That maybe works and maybe you secure a point, but there's only so much you can do when the team, you know, implodes like they did, and the guys on the ice are who imploded. You know, it wasn't because Rick Bowness didn't call it timeout that the team lost. It was because the Stars, the players just forgot how to clear their own zone. And so, you know, coaching is maybe, but even then, you know, is there somebody out there that you're really going to think you're going to bring in right now in a shortened season that's going to turn this thing around immediately? I don't think so. I don't think that's a viable option. Let's step aside when we come back, and I'm going to continue talking a little bit about the coaching thing because I think that's an interesting part where I've started to see those ideas creep up. So we'll talk a little bit about that after the break and continue breaking down, and we'll get to that second question that we got as well. back here at the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we get to the rest of this episode, today on the Locked On Today podcast, is the relationship broken between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. We're talking about the Dallas Stars in their current situation. We got a couple of Twitter questions. The first one being from Drew Butler asking, is it time for a major change? And he didn't specify, so I attacked it from two different angles, the player angle and the coaching staff angle. Player angle, I don't think there's a way to make a significant change. Your significant change is going to come in March, potentially, late March, when you get, hopefully you get Ben Bishop and Tyler Seguin. That's significant, right? That is a very significant change, and that'll improve things. But until that point, there's nothing from the outside that's going to come in unless you decide, hey, something's not working, let's ship a defenseman out and get Thomas Harley up here or something like that. But I mean, there's no other real moves right now that I think they can make that make a drastic change. They just can't afford it. They don't have the cap space. They don't have the assets. I don't see that happening. Coaching-wise, you know, I talked about before the break, Rick Bonus has been hit for a couple of coaching decisions, and this is going to tie into the second question that that I got. This is from Jeff Peppers, at Jeff Peppers. How do we leave him in for five goals? Why no timeout last game? I'm a Bonus apologist, but what else do we have to, what else do we do here? Aside of Stan Pat, since this is a non-spin season. Good luck with the podcast. You know, so he focused on it, right, the timeout against Florida when the Stars gave the three goals in quick succession, about 3.5 minutes. I think that's a valid question. And I think I said this after the game, Rick Bonus had it to do over again, probably calls a timeout there. But I think there's part of that looks at it and goes, surely these guys, you know, after the second goal scored, surely they'll go, all right, they'll get the change in and they can, you know, at least, you know, drag this thing out a little bit, right? Or slow the game down, get some, I mean, something. And it's like a boom. As soon as the Stars gave up those two goals in a minute, it was like all of a sudden the puck dropped after the second goal and boom, the puck was headed back into the Stars zone. And then by that point, it's too late, right? Because it was a sustained zone time that's got this third goal. So, I mean, it's just, you know, in hindsight, yeah, he probably calls a timeout because he knows what happened when he didn't call a timeout. You know, with the Anthony Dobin leaving him in for five goals, I talked a little bit about this on Sunday's episode. You know, I don't know the reasoning, and I can't pretend to know, you know, have insight into why they left him in. At the point, you know, there was really not a great point to pull him in the second period because, you know, you're not going to pull him when you're three goals down. Then you're four goals down late. So I guess you could have made the change at the intermission. But, you know, you're coming out of the intermission. You've got to make a push. Do you and you're playing one of the best teams in the league. Do you really want to stick your rookie out there in a blowout like you did in the playoffs and risk him just being bombarded because the team quits or, you know, the team's playing so open trying to create that they and then now, you know, Ottinger gives in two or three goals in the third period and shoots his confidence. You know, and so, you know, when Hudobin gave up the fifth goal, they make the move. But I think there was just, I think coming into that intermission between the second and third period, I think Rick Bonus coaching staff really thought, our best path, if we're going to find a way into this game, is with Anton Hudobin in net. He's the most likely to be able to put on, you know, stand on his head, make big saves and spark something. And I don't think I disagree with that. Now, you know, the culmination of the two and where the team's at, I think questions need to be asked. Whether it's, I don't think the question needs to be, you know, do we fire Rick Bonus right now? We being the Dallas Stars, do you fire Rick Bonus? I don't think that's the question right at this point. But I think there's questions needs to be asked about what's the communication like with the coaching staff and the teams? Where's the mentality at? Because, you know, Rick Bonus has come out scorched earth a couple of, right after that Florida that game. He was brutal. He said, you saw who let us down again. It was the veterans. It was those guys that let us down again. That's brutal coming from a coach 15 games into the season or whatever it was. At that point, it would have been 15 because they're 16 in now. So, I mean, that's brutal. And so, you know, I'd be interested to see what the kind of mentality is. These players like Rick Bonus, right? They were all behind Bonus getting this job and getting the interim tag removed. They were all for it. They all like Rick Bonus, so I'd be hesitant to make a move coaching-wise, and I talked about this before the break. You're 16 games in, and you're 16 games removed from being in a Stanley Cup final with him as your head coach. Coaches don't get fired 16 games later. They just don't, right? That just doesn't happen. That's not wise. That's a rash decision. The other side of it is shortened. Yet you only have 40 games left. So, you know, when you're looking at it from the perspective of a full season, right, you have less than half of a regular season, a normal regular season left. that's late to make a coaching change unless you are straight up, you know, you're tanking and you just want to get the next guy in the doors, or you just want to, you know, you just want to hit the reset and you just want to get the other guy out, right? There's no, with 40 games left, I don't think there's an option externally that you're going to bring in that's going to, you know, flip the script, flip the switch, and boom, now you're riding it again and you get hot and you finish out the 40 games strong. I think your best bet to turn this around is under the current coaching regime. Now, I'm interested. The major change, and what will be interesting this offseason, is how they address it at the end of the year, right? Because this team doesn't have a lot of cap space. They've got some veterans tied up in big-time money. That being said, they have tradable players. Joe Pavelski, if he continues to be good this year, I think is tradable if you eat some money in the offseason. If you don't make the playoffs and you decide... And that's the major change that would maybe come, is blow it up, get some of these veterans out, get the new guys in, open up some money, and try to, you know, rebuild this thing. Trade it, like I said, going through kind of some of these contracts that you maybe could move on from at the end of the year if you really want to hit the reset. Joe Pavelski, you eat a decent chunk of money. You got 1 year left after this year at $7 million. You'd have to eat some money there, but maybe you can, you know, maybe you could get something in return from him. Not likely it's going to be significant, though. Radek Faxa is going to stay. He's on a long-term deal at 3.25. Hintz is staying. Gurianov's staying. Como will be a UFA. He's gone. Dickinson's an RFA. I think you bring Dickinson back. He's good enough. Kiviranta's an RFA. He's borderline. I think you want to see how he plays out the rest of the year, but probably bringing Joel Kiviranta back. Robertson will be around. Dowling's a UFA. He's gone. Kamano's an RFA. You're going to bring Kamano back. He's a young player, talented player. You get into the defensemen, and then you get into some legitimate discussions. Esselindel's making 5.8 for the next 4 years after the end of this season. That's a very tradable player, very tradable contract. He's a top pairing defenseman that's making under $6 million a year. So maybe that's a route you go. If you're talking about a major change, John Klingberg would have 1 year left at 4.1. That's an incredible value, especially if John Klingberg continues to produce like he did in the early season. That's incredible value. Some team will give up something to get him for a year for a rental. You know, Miro Haskins is an RFA. You got to re-sign him long-term. That would open up some money to help with that. Alexiak's a UFA. Maybe you let him walk. You know, maybe you let some of these other UFAs walk. I think you're losing one of your goalies in the offseason. I've said that already. I think Anton Udobin or Ben Bishop, probably Anton Udobin, is going to be gone at the end of the year because I don't see Dallas sticking with them each, keeping both of them for the next 2 years with the expansion draft and all the different variables. I think Dallas figures out a way to get out of one of those deals. Sagan, pretty much untradeable at this point. Not worth, when I say untradeable, not that nobody would want him. Nobody's going to give up anything of value to acquire Tyler Sagan because they're taking on nearly $10 million a year. Same with Jamie Benn. You know, Alexander Radulov, he's pretty much untradeable. He's going to make 6.25 next year in the last year of his deal. Pretty untradeable there. The reason I walk you through it like that is if there's a major change, it's coming in the offseason. Not coming now. It's coming in the offseason. And it's going to be in the form of blowing this thing up. The problem is they can't really blow it up this year. It's going to have to be the next year. We talked about going into last year, right? There's a 3-year window. Last year, this year, next year. That's the window. Alexander Radulov's under contract through that. Pavelski, you know, Ben Bishop and now Anton Udobin would be on the end of their, going into the final year of their contracts after next season. You know, you'd be, John Klingberg would be gone, out of contract. You know, that's the window to win, right? So if there's a major change, you know, maybe they blow it up in the offseason. If they don't make the playoffs, I think they definitely reevaluate. But other than that, I mean, I don't see where, you still run into the assets problem, the money problem. It's just, I don't see where a major change can come for this team, at least for the rest of the season and the next season. Then you can get into major change discussions and you talk about an overhaul kind of thing. But I don't think you need to overhaul the team. And I'll get into that going into this last break. We're going to take a last break and then we'll come back. I'll get into this and why I don't think you need to overhaul this team right now, because I don't think it makes sense to overhaul it right this second. Before we step aside, I got to talk to you about Built Bar. Best tasting protein bar on the market. They got 18 unbelievable flavors, including my favorite, the cookies in a cream bar. They've also got, they sent me a new bar. It's like chocolate. It's like coconut brownie. Unbelievable. It's up there with cookies and cream and banana bread. phenomenal bar. All 18 bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're adding new flavors, new types of bars. They got crispy bars now, adding all kinds of stuff all the time. Built bars are great if you're a health conscious guy, you're trying to lose and maintain weight. If you want to indulge in something that tastes really, really good, but you don't want to feel guilty about it, look no further than Built Bar. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. You're on the keto diet, these are great for that. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. That's for a bar covered in 100% chocolate, guys. If you want to go get a Built Bar, you want to try Built Bar for yourself, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON20, and you get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20. Get 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Also want to talk to you about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and info to keep you ahead of the competition. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast wherever you get your podcast. All right, so this is kind of this episode is kind of taking a turn because we talked about, I really like that question, the major change, because it was broad enough that there's a bunch of ways to attack it. And this year, in this moment, today, there's no major change to be made. I don't think there is, you know, coaching staff wise. There's not enough time in the season to expect a coaching staff to come in and turn it all around. You'd have to do the same thing you do with Jim Montgomery, which you'd have to you know, promote from within, because there's not enough time to bring in a new coach, implement a new system. There's not enough time for that. And that being said, I don't think Rick Bowness has earned himself the boot. He's 16 games removed from the Stanley Cup final. I know they've been bad. They still have 40 games to go in a 56-game season. They're still well within, you know, they're a hot run. You know, they're 2 good weeks away from being back in the playoff conversation easily. And we'll get to that a little bit. So I don't think it's that time. From a player perspective, there's no way, there's nothing they can do that I can see that upgrades this team in a significant way. You don't have the assets to acquire anybody. You don't have the cap space to acquire anybody. So I don't see that working out. I talked about, you know, maybe in the offseason, if things continue to go bad, maybe they try to blow it up. They've got a couple of tradable contracts, players. They can start to try to part way with some of this money and get some money off the books and, you know, kind of hit the reset for their next, you know, their next run through spending money and everything like that. But that being said, you know, I don't think it makes full on sense to blow it up, because you can't really completely blow it up this offseason. You're still going to have, you know, like Alexander Radulov, he's going to still be around. Joe Pavelski's probably going to be around. There's not really a true way to blow it up this offseason. But I don't, and this is what I want to get to. I don't think you have to, and I want to look ahead at the schedule. Right this second, you know, I don't think we need to be planning for the Stars to hit the restart button, hit the rebuild button, or anything like that. They're in a very, very bad spot. No punches pulled there. They're in a bad spot. They look bad. They don't look like they're a playoff caliber team. They won 2 games in the month of February. That being said, with their games in hand, with how many points off they are. Still, I think the 5th best team in the division, and they're a hot streak away from being in the playoff hunt once again. And once you get back into the hunt, then it's just about being what you are, which should be a good hockey team. Looking to the month of March, and this is what I want to get to, they've got 6 home games coming up. They start a 6-game homestand Tuesday against the Lightning. This is a make or break. I mean, and I've said that, I think I said that at the end of the month, February, and I was, and maybe I'm delaying this. I mean, the Stars have to figure it out. This homestand, they got Tampa Bay once, Columbus twice, Nashville once, Chicago twice. Those are all teams you need to and should be beating, right? Except for Tampa Bay, you lose. I would go ahead and chalk up an L on Tuesday. I don't see them beating this Tampa Bay team right now. That being said, Columbus, they've split the first 2 games against Columbus at Columbus. You should win at least one of those games, if not both. Nashville, you should absolutely be beating the Nashville Predators at home. Nashville Predators are not a good hockey team. Stars should be winning that one. So you should win 2 of your first 4. And then Chicago, I think you have to win at least 1 against Chicago. But I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility, because we've seen them beat up on these lower teams. that they win, you know, they beat Columbus twice, they beat Nashville, and then they've got a 3-game winning streak taking on Chicago. You come out of this with 4 wins. You know, you beat Columbus twice, Nashville once, Chicago once, or beat Chicago twice, Nashville once, Columbus, whatever it is. You come away with 4 or more wins. I think you're feeling okay about yourself. I think you're feeling okay taking 8 points against the teams you're kind of competing against in Columbus and in Chicago. Nashville's a fringe. You know, they're way off the pace. I don't think they're that good. But, you know, those are the teams you got to beat, and that sets you up nicely for the rest of the month. Because the Stars have a brutal month in March, right? They play those 6 games at home. Then they're on the road at Columbus for a back-to-back. Home against Tampa Bay again. At Detroit for 2 games. Home against Nashville for 1. Home against Tampa Bay for 2. Home against Florida for 2. At Nashville. So they've got, in this month, they've got 8 games in this month against the teams ahead of them in the division, in the top 4, right? They've got 8 games in the top 4. They've got to win at least 4 of those games. That is my marker for the month. Got to win at least 4 of those games, and they need to win 75% of the other games against the teams below them to kind of work their way back into that conversation as a playoff caliber team. But this 6-game stretch that starts on Tuesday, you play Tampa Bay on the 2nd, Columbus on the 4th, Columbus on the 6th, Nashville on the 7th, Chicago on the 9th, Chicago on the 11th. They need at least 3, if not 4 of those games, and then you can talk about them maybe turning a corner. But if they come out of this with 2 or 1 win, I think the panic button has been mashed into the table for sure, because I don't think the Stars have a way to get out of that. If they dig the hole any deeper, I don't know that they have the firepower to get out of it. It's gonna do it all for this episode. Make sure to follow on Twitter at Locked On Stars. You can follow my personal account as well at Kenneth_Nash19. Sure to subscribe or listen to the podcast, so we show up in your feed every single day. We'll be back Tuesday with a preview of the game against Tampa Bay at home, and kind of talk a little bit more about this upcoming homestand and any news that may pop up. We'll hear from the team, I'm sure, some of the coaching staff and some of the team, some of the players on Monday. So we'll have all of that, all the latest from that. So make sure to subscribe. A lot of hockey coming up. It's a busy month of March. We'll be here for it all. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to follow, so you never miss a minute. That's going to do it all for this one. Enjoy your Monday. If you've got the rest of your Monday in front of you, enjoy your Monday. And I will talk to you all soon. Stay safe.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.